Welcome to the Peace Alliance Hope Story Circle. It's so nice to see all of your faces on this wonderful day. My name is Terry Mason. I'm on the board of directors of the Peace Alliance, and I'm joined to facilitate today with Liz Gannon Graydon, who is also on our board, and Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. And our special guest today, we have an encore performance with Joel Kimmel. It's so nice to see you, Joel. Joel is an author and a consultant and a speaker. He has a book out called Self, The Vast World Behind Your Words. So Joel, I know part of your story is going to give a little recap of your actual story, but if you could unmute yourself, I'd like you to tell us just a little bit about your book before we get started.
Thank you for the invitation to tell you about the book. Yes. As Terry said, the name is called Self, The Vast World Behind Our Words. The reason that the book was written is because I would tell people what I do and how I coach, and they said, have you written your book yet? And I would always say no. And then finally, Judy and I were on a trip, and my wife Judy is down there, it says Judy. We were on a trip, and I said, you don't think this idea about me writing a book is the worst wild goose chase we've ever gotten us on, right? And she goes, no, I think it is. And she says, why don't you let me do the work with you and make sense out of what you do? And I thought it was a great opportunity to us to join in and honor Judy's ability to really find the meaning in the work that we do. And so people who have purchased it on Amazon report that it's very valuable to read, because it's like wherever you open it up, you read some paragraph or some page. It's relevant to something that's happening in your life now. And it was never designed to help anybody. It was designed to allow people to see new possibilities in their world and to see how the world really is there in support of who we are being in the world, a little bit more than what we are doing in the world. And so the book is designed to let people start to distinguish the doing side of life and the being side of life. And most magic happens on the being side of life, but most people try to get to the magic by doing a lot of stuff. And today I'd like to talk about the art of allowing, which allows the magic to show up, and it's out of your hands. It's your willingness to allow that to unfold.
Yeah, let's do that. But first let's have Yelena give us a little grounding meditation, and then let's get started. Yelena?
Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, let's allow ourselves to land in this moment. Just allow yourself to get settled, finding a posture that feels supportive to you in this moment, and taking a moment to connect with your breath and your body. So invite your body and mind to relax and return to your breath, or if soles of your feet feel like a place where you can rest your attention, just allow yourself to go there. Finding a way to settle into a relaxed body, which also allows our mind to be alert. And the invitation is to close your eyes or gaze down and invite ease, softness, and gentleness. And perhaps just bringing the attention to the sensation of your breath, either at the tip of your nostrils or in your chest or belly. Whatever feels most prominent to you in this moment. And with this relaxed awareness, The invitation I'm extending is to practice mindfulness as an art of noticing, the art of observation and allowing. Let's practice growing our capacity to notice, to allow and to appreciate everything in our present moment experience. Perhaps noticing I'm able to hear sounds, or my body is breathing and keeping me alive. Or I have the ability to connect with others in this moment. Or I'm connecting with myself. Just spend just a few moments gathering our attention and shining a light to appreciate what is happening in your experience.
Hello?
I'm sorry, Yelena, I muted you accidentally.
To spend our practice time gathering our attention and to appreciate what is happening in your experience right now. And allowing a whisper of gentle thank you to each of your noticing. How many treasures, how many thank yous we have noticed now that often go unnoticed. And one big one is ourselves. Just inviting you to offer gratitude for yourself. Allow a sincere thank you to permeate your body. Thank you for being here. Thank you for committing yourself to growth, for showing up. Welcome, Joel.
Joel, can you unmute yourself and you can begin?
I love those parts of this conversation. So thank you very much. And thanks everybody for taking the time to spend some time together this morning. I don't know how many people are on the first session that we did. I told my story, my brief summary of my story was I was in the Army. I got drafted back in 68. And I went to Vietnam and then got medevaced home from Vietnam and then reassigned to a trucking outfit in Germany after, this is really cool, after I spearheaded a work slowdown in our company to relieve our commanding officer because he didn't respect the soldiers. And it was authorized. One morning, the commanding officer, first sergeant came in, called us to attention, and the guy who I was trying to relieve came out and started to talk. And about 3 minutes later, the post commander comes in and calls us to attention, and he relieves the commanding officer in front of us and installs the new commanding officer, which I'd never heard of. You could hear a pin drop. So I get to my workstation. This is about the art of allowing. I get to my workstation, and the phone rings, and it's the new commanding officer's off asking me to come down and talk. He wants to meet with me. And so I went down, and he said, "Joel, first of all, thank you for maintaining the integrity and the honor of men who have served our country. And secondly, what do you want to have happen?" And I said, "I want us to be recognized and respected for it. Let us do the minimum required to fit your concerns. And if we do it, we'd only have to stand one inspection a month. And if we don't, what would you want us to do?" And he said, "Well, then we'd have to put more structure in." And I said, "Good." So one inspection a month worked out. He had me leave. 2 weeks later, I come down to your workstation, and there's a set of orders to Germany. And I go, "How are these orders for him?" The guy says, "Look at the first line, Joel." It says Joel Kimmel. So I got shot out of Fort Eustis, Virginia, and in Germany. And I arrive in Germany, and I'm a helicopter guy. I was in helicopters in Vietnam, and I lined up in this trucking outfit that had never passed an inspection since World War II. And I get there, and the commanding officer calls me in to talk to me, and he said, "Joel, we've heard about you. Thank you for taking care of the men. I'm looking forward to you to run the line." And I said, "What line is that?" And he said, "The trucking line." I said, "Sir, I'm a helicopter guy. I don't do trucks." And he goes, "Well, what are you going to do here?" "It's a trucking outfit." And I said, "I want to go to Garmisch-Partenkirchen and run the Armed Forces Recreation Center ski schools." And he said, "You know, I have to authorize that." And I said, "Yeah, I do. So what's important to you that if I could have something about that happening, I could go to Garmisch?" And he told me to have one thing in the company pass the inspector general's inspection. So I said, "Good, give me the worst group of guys you've got." And he gave me this place where everybody, the nuts and bolts were counted. So anyway, that's the only place that passed the IG. The next morning I go to my commanding officer and he says, "Joel, here are the orders to go out and go to Garmisch and try out. I have one request of you. Will you please teach my family how to ski if we come down?" I said, "Absolutely, we go." And Judy and I, off we went and spent the winter in Garmisch. It's the most beautiful place in the world. You had to stop about every 3 days and sit down and let it in because it was so beautiful. And so we got this little guest house, this third floor of a guest house in this little German hamlet, and we were the only Americans in it. And on Christmas Eve, we hear the singing out in the street, and there were all the neighbors in the town that called us out to all go sing Christmas carols together. Another extraordinary thing unexpectedly happening. So the two couple that we were sharing that apartment with, Happ and I were on the ski patrol duty, was teaching school at that school in El Romergau, the primary kids. Life was magical. Weekends we got to go ski race. Happ and I got to go ski race. We're prepping for a downhill race. I just remembered that the day before I had won the slalom race against a guy that had never been beaten that season. And we were going up to the lift looking at the downhill course. And I said to Happ, I said, "You know, if I don't beat Schweitzer today, I never will." And an hour and a half later, I was dead on the hill. So you better watch out what you say. I just remembered that whole thing because I had a fall on the course where I bounced over the bales of hay. I was going about 65 miles an hour and I hit this end of a log cabin. And I fractured my skull, broke my neck, my back. I was paralyzed, dead on arrival. And they said, after 14 hours of operation, they came out and told Judy, they said, "We don't think he's going to live, but come back tomorrow." And she came back the next day and is coming back for the next day for 50 years, which we just celebrated our 50th anniversary. But the interesting thing to me in this whole part of my story is that when I heard what people were saying, the doctors saying, "I don't think he's going to live," to Judy, or I heard them tell me I probably would never walk again. If I could walk, that would be a lucky thing. And I just never bought into that story. I said, there must be something's going to happen bigger than that. So I spent like 7 days on the other side. And finally, the spirits on the other side said, "Joel, you need to choose to stay or go home or go back." And I said, "I'm staying." And they said, "No, you should go back. You have a contribution to make." I said, if I have a contribution to make, please tell me what three things I should know to make the contribution. And she said, one, humans were put on the planet because it's paradise and everybody's forgotten it. Second is everything you'll ever need is everywhere always, because in paradise you would have that and everybody has forgotten that. That one I live my life by. I'll tell you in a second. It fits into the art of allowing. And the third one is that all you have to do is ask and see how it's given, not ask and it is given, which people are always like, well, I ask this and I don't see it. So my example I use is a guy has a food bank. He's getting very, very busy and he wants a new pickup truck to deliver more food. So the next day someone comes by and gives him three wheelbarrows, right? He's looking for the pickup truck. What he was really asking for, his being was asking for, his spirit was asking for, his ability to continue to expand his ability to contribute to people by passing out more food. And so that starts to click into this whole conversation that we find ourselves in presently about if we look at our world in the condition that it is, if you're on the West Coast, the whole western coast of the United States is on fire. The pandemic has the world paralyzed to a large degree. And so now what's the opportunity? That's a good question. So I suggest one of the opportunities that might be useful is to start to observe unexpected things that are unfolding in a way that might be possible that you'd be able to do. There was a woman that Judy and I have been friends with for a long time, great, happy, sparkly. She taught customer service to the Ritz-Carlton and everything. She had a very bad skiing accident where she broke both her legs and have been in recovery trying to walk for 6 years. And she got about 90% of her stuff back. And she called me up and she said, Jill, I just can't kick the last 7%. Can you work with me? And I said, yes. And then I got an email from her. She says, I've given up. I've called an end to trying to get better. I now am willing to see what's going to happen. So I wrote, hopefully you can hear this. So I wrote this email I wrote back to her. Hopefully you can hear it, is really sort of an expression of what I consider the opportunity for all of us to start to dance with the unknown, because we're finding ourselves suspended in it all the time. So here's what it says.
Susie, this is wonderful news. The shift now is one of gratitude and appreciation to your body for doing so well on the healing journey. You can now allow it to continue its own journey of healing in a way that will allow you to carry on your contribution in the world. I suggest in these moments of allowing, it is for you to discover what the spirits are revealing to you rather than where you think you should be going. I have always been surprised and amazed how this phenomenon seems to be spot on with the level of my ability to experience being successful and proud of myself. It becomes a dance with the invisible as it is being revealed. Maybe we should call you the Ginger Rogers discovering your new partner to replace Fred Astaire. The universe of allowing. Enjoy.
So I invite us to take us time this morning is to look into that, because I suggest that art of allowing has been around us forever, and yet we've been looking at other things on the doing side to do that would hope that we can hope would produce that feeling of meaningful life and contribution. And so I think when you start to allow yourself to become the observer of that phenomenon around you, that things happen, and the things that happen seem to be exactly spot on in the moment, not before or not after that moment. And if you allow yourself to look at it in an inquiry or look at it as a surprise, then all of a sudden, there's a different opportunity to move in the world. You're being led by this bigger spirit, the spirit world I talked about on the other side, is quite profound. And it operates in a different reality than we do, because I suggest if we take a moment and look, the major contributions that have happened to us in our lives happened in an unexpected way and in an unexpected type of communication. And it not only makes a contribution to who we're being, but it also allows us to see a new way to do things in our life that gives us space to understand and acknowledge ourselves and our ability to make contributions. So some of the things that happened to me coming back from that skiing accident, seeing that I couldn't move, couldn't see, couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. They were getting ready to medevac me back to Walter Reed. And they had me all set to get on a helicopter to fly to Landstuhl and then to Walter Reed. And as they're sliding me onto the helicopter, somebody jiggles my shoulder. And I looked up and I still had a blurred vision. I could hardly see. And I could see it was Captain Hinley from the trucking outfit that had come down to be the pilot of the helicopter to fly me to Landstuhl so I could go home. And when they were sliding me and he jiggled my shoulder, he says, "Hey, Joel, thanks for teaching my family to ski. I'm taking you home, soldier." And as we were there turning to take me off the helicopter, when we landed, he says, "Oh yeah, and by the way, you'll be fine." Another one of those moments, you know, that we see in our life. So we get to Walter Reed. They have me strapped into a wheelchair, slumped over, because I had everything was not there working. And I was slumped over, and the doctors had taken all these x-rays of my body, which that we hadn't happened in Europe. And they're putting it up, and they go, "Oh my God, every bone on his neck's broken. Get him flat immediately." So they finally figured out that I wasn't as healthy as they thought I was. And there was a little physical therapist woman that came and got me when she met me. Came and got me one morning, and she said, took me up to the mats in the room, and she laid me down, and she said, "Joel, roll over." And I jiggle my head, and she goes, "That's great. Do you like to swim?" I said, "Yeah, I love to swim." And so she took me to the PT pool, put floaties on my elbows and my knees so I wouldn't tip over. And she told the guys in the pool, she stayed with me for the first hour or so, and then said, "I'll be back to get you out at lunchtime." But all of a sudden, what I started to discover is that my fingers started to move, my body started to move. This was after about 3 weeks of floating in the pool for 8 hours a day. And she took me back to the physical therapy one day, put me between those rails, handrails that you can walk, and took the wheelchair and put it at the other end of the rail. And she said, "Walk to me, soldier." And I made it there and collapsed into the wheelchair. And she put her hands on my cheek like this and kissed me on my forehead. And she said, "You know, Joel, you'll be just fine. I've never seen her again. And I'm just fine." So if anybody knows that woman, please have her call me, please. But it's that kind of events that I think have happened to all of our lives that has allowed us to know there's something greater than our concern about doing things right. And the invitation today is about starting to, in our breakout rooms, is starting to talk about, and maybe we can do more formal questions, but starting to talk about the things that you've, in the art of allowance, things that you've seen have unfolded unexpectedly in your life that has made a contribution to yourself in a way that it touched everybody around you. How many people have experienced something like that? Raise your hand. Yeah. So here's the dance. You know, might as well start letting it happen, because one of the thoughts I've been having, we need to now be willing to see this new unfolding of this new world we're living in that has never been here before. That if we try to keep figuring things out on how to slip it into the right square peg in a round hole instead of the square peg in the square hole and discover it was always there, I think it's a different world to live in. I'm seeing up here in Maine a rejuvenation of farming. There's farms that we haven't seen anybody doing anything with are thriving. All of a sudden, there are these boutique beer distilleries coming into existence. Almost every little town has their own beer, and it's thriving in this state. They also don't, they've had 50 in our county. They've only had 4 cases of COVID since it started, you know, and everybody wears masks. How simple is that? And so I think my invitation to us today in our breakout rooms is to really start to talk about the possibility you see if we started to allow ourselves to become the observer of the magic in the world that's happening around us. Does that make sense? Yes. How's that, Terry?
That's good. Great.
Liz, you want to add anything?
No, I've been dancing with the idea the whole time you've been talking. I think that's perfect. I like that idea of unfolding and allowing, and yeah, I don't have anything to add, Joel. Thank you.
Okay, good. Thank you.
All right.
I just want to say one thing. I see people that have made gigantic contributions in my life on here, and I just want to say thank you for being here. It just makes a big difference in my life, and I think in those around us. So thank you. And there's some people that have past life experiences, I call them close to life, and now when I work with those people, I ask them, so what was the last thing they said to you before you chose to come back? And they said, you have a contribution to make. Almost every one of them says that, and one smiling at me down on the corner, thank you for being here, like that. So take it away for the breakout rooms. I think we're in good time.
All right. Well, we're going to go into breakout rooms for about 20 minutes and then come back. So I'm going to pause the recording now. And welcome back, everyone. It's nice to see your faces again. Who would like to share something that is alive for you right now after having that time in your small group? You're welcome to unmute yourself and let us know what's on your mind.
What's exciting to me is that new people keep showing up at these meetings. And sometimes I ask them, well, how did you hear about us? And they don't know how this connection happened. And here they are. And it's like, great.
That's an allowing, isn't it? Is there thank you, David. Is there someone else? I'm trying to see everyone's names who would like to share.
Isn't everybody on the Peace Alliance mailing list? And I get notices about this every week, and I just come to some.
Yeah, we do send them out.
This is Richard. What I experienced in our small group was, just as listening, that my observation was when people let go of what they were striving for with all their effort, then it happened. It was just a story. I mean, they were telling the story, but once they told the story, they were no longer trying to make things happen. And out of the story came the fact that it was evident that once they stopped pursuing something with all of their blocked and tied up energy and let it go, that it happened. Mm. And that's the allowing as opposed to the chasing. And there's a significant difference in those two.
Mm. Go ahead, Hugh.
Yeah. There's a woman named Bonnie in our group who made a very interesting point. She said that When you engage in a discussion with anything, when you enter any group, you enter with your own cognitive mindset that causes you to filter whatever, you know, whatever is outside of your mindset, you tend to reject, and whatever is within that mindset, you tend to accept. And you're the speaker is never going to be able to reach everybody in an audience, and one simply has to accept that. And I have to think about that. I hope that's not true, but really could be true.
Mm. Mm. Thank you for that.
I just wanted to add something, just following on, actually going back to what Dick said about pursuing and striving for something. That's something that occurred to me in our group. How many times when you're so focused on something and so wanting something, does it not happen? But then these really wonderful, rich, special things happen when you're not looking for it, but you're just open to it. And I think from our group, Charlene and I both know Joe well, and there's this gratitude and kind of awareness of the space Joel holds for people to, you know, grow and look at these opportunities. So thank you, Joel.
It's really great to see you. I just have to brag about Harriet for herself. She's my trainer at the Marin Rec Center, and has probably done more about recovering my ability to be proud of my body and not be embarrassed about how I walk and stumble around sometimes. So thank you very much, Harriet, for being on this call. She's a magical woman. So is everybody on this call. One of the questions that came up on my group, and it was great. It was a wonderful group. They seemed to be really appropriate. How can we have people learn to cooperate together? And I was telling Terry and Liz the other day about up in Maine, this guy who is sort of the caretaker, but does the lawns and all that stuff. He was in Vietnam. He was a helicopter pilot. We've known him forever, over 53 years. We get out of the car, and he starts with this insulting attack about why do you live in California? Everybody's crazy there and all of that, and you should actually get your stuff in order and, you know, do his side of the political issue. And I said, hey, stop talking. And he goes, what? And I said, just stop talking. He goes, why am I stopping talking? Because I said, I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about our friendship. And I want to talk about what we can do together to have this thing work out. And he goes, well, I don't think we'll have much to talk about. And I said, well, let's experiment and see what happens. And I said, I have one other question. How do you see that this country could come back together again, regardless of who wins? And he goes, oh, that's a good question. And I said, let's talk about that. And it wasn't about politics. It was about our country coming back together again. And there's a type of question that I think allows that to take place. We call them vision questions. What will it look like to have X happen in a way that allows both of us to benefit in our country to take care of itself, regardless of who's winning the game. And it really almost, vision questions, we use it all the time when we're coaching. You know, I'm a strong believer, people know their answers and people just don't ask them the right questions. So I go work with corporate and executive teams and families, and all I do is ask them vision questions. Well, how would this look? What would it look like if this all fell into place and you could be happy? And they all start talking at one time. Oh, I could do this. We could do that. We could do that. And it was like one of the women in our group said, well, you know, I don't know. And I just helped my son buy this house. And now all of a sudden I'm a grandmother. And I had none of that in my idea about if I just helped my son buy a house. So I think when we do things that contribute to the quality of life of others, their life expands and so does ours. And I think it's time more now than ever to allow us to look into the future of the possibilities. I just had this dream last night about having schools be virtual, global virtual classrooms, where the classrooms can go to the Louvre in France and talk about this transition of art over the years, the Chinese, the Nairobi's, the everybody's, and that to become education and how that starts to bring everything together. And I think we need to sort of open up our awareness of the possibility that we've been given to have that start to unfold for everybody instead of who's gonna win the different game. Yeah. So I invite us to do that.
Does anyone else have a share? Hugh, you're raising your hand.
The technology exists for instant translation. And so the possibility exists that you could create that kind of global classroom where people who speak a multitude of different languages could instantly communicate with each other with, you know, instant translation that is done by the computer interface. But the more important point, though, is that there is a pretty substantial literature that says that people learn less through video communication by watching a documentary or a movie or something like that. They learn less than by reading. When you watch a video presentation, you watch with less concentration, less focus, less attention than when you read a book, where you bring your awareness and your attention into a single focus. And the consequence is that you're more likely, at least this is what the literature concludes, that you're more likely to remember more from what you've read than what you've seen on a screen. And where we seem to be moving away from literacy and more toward visual presentations, and I'm concerned about that.
Mm. Well, I think we're gonna need to come to a close. I'm gonna just type a few little links into the chat. The Peace Alliance, first of all, our mission is to empower civic action toward a culture of peace. I put our website there and I put the blueprint for peace there, the Peace On podcasts. All of these are podcasts that we have on our Peace On podcasts. And we are a small nonprofit. We appreciate any donations that you're willing to give. Also, one more link, we are coming up on our annual advocacy days, which are virtual this year. Typically a group of people goes to Washington DC and lobbies for grassroots lobbying efforts for policies around peace building and violence reduction. We're doing it virtually this year, which means that all of us can participate. You don't have to go to DC. So the link right there will give you, take you to the page that has all the instructions, and there's a little a flyer and things like that. But the time is now to make appointment with your member of Congress. And then we'll have the lobby days around the International Day of Peace, which Christine just posted, yes, September 21st. The actual lobby days are the 21st and 22nd, but Sunday the 20th, advocacy days are kicking off with pretty much an all day beautiful presentation with some extraordinary speakers. So look for your email about that. That's going to be coming out very soon for you to register for that, because we're going to have some wonderful speakers there. So that's all the public service announcements. Liz, you want to wrap us up for the day?
Yeah. As I was listening and taking the call, I was really trying to think what I was going to say. And I'd like to tie in some things that came up. I know we weren't here last week, but the week before and 2 weeks before when Joel was here and today. And for those of you who are on the call with Matthew Albrecht, I don't remember who at the end said that they felt, I'm thinking of what you said, Joel, about not arguing or talking about politics and how do we shift things. And at the end, I don't know if it was Anna last time who said what came up for her was singing and connecting in music because it's this higher vibration, right? And so for the last few weeks, I've been thinking about how do we connect in that higher vibration. And I was moved. I have a lot of friends on Facebook. And I was moved 10 days ago. I just put up on Facebook, do any of you have a song that makes you feel particularly connected to your spirit in general or in this moment that you'd like to share? And I got over 200 responses. And I wanted to figure out a way to honor it. So for the last 10 days, I set an hour aside And I've just listened to the songs in any order. In the order that they listed them mm-hmm. in that hour. So sometimes it's five or six and sometimes, and someone sent me a whole album of Malian music and I just sat there and took it in. And as I'm connecting with each person, I've been listening to the song, sending them love, drawing them into my mind and really connecting with them and saying, what's the message that they want for me in this moment? And it's just been this really powerful exercise in meditation. And Matthew said something when he was on, for those of you on the call, he had done a lot of spiritual work over the years and he made the choice to shift one thing, and that was nutrition. And he talked about how everything aligned and he made more kind of shift in his spiritual life by changing that one thing. And for me, these last 10 days of truly connecting at the level of spirit, kind of adult, just allowing, right? Allowing each message to watch over me, not saying, oh, I don't feel like listening to that song, or, oh, I wonder what that person means. I've really just allowed each person's message to watch over me, wash over me, and maybe watch over me. Mm. And to just allow those connections, and it's making me think about the world and each of the people in my life in a very different way. So I'm just thankful for this exercise. I'm thankful to be able to connect with you all of you. I'm thankful for every new face that we get to share with and for the faces that keep returning. And I'm especially thankful for the, you know, for Terry and Yelena, who I get to do this work with every week. And Joel, for your really thought-provoking questions that come from your own life, right? What would we like to have happen in our lives, which was the question you left us with last time, and how can we do more to allow that? So I just want to say thank you to everyone, and I want to send you off in your week. Some of us are in more challenging circumstances than others, but just to remember that connection we have and try to kind of send our highest vibration out to one another. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Liz. Feel free to unmute yourself.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you all. Thank you. Oh, you're welcome. Thank you. Thank you, Joel. Thank you
for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.